It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, thunderstruck. Thunderstruck by, I don't know, is your cortex raw yet? Got a little bit of, and what fur? Think about it. The Cato Institute was, I tell you where that came from. In late 70s, early 80s, there was a rift in the Libertarian Party. There were those that wanted to, be a big third party, and we're going to not emphasize, some of the, more social libertarian things like, freedom in drugs and freedom of marriage, and freedom of, all this kind of stuff. More wanted to focus on economics. So, the people that funded Cato and everything, well, they took their money and their football and they went home. And they said, we're going to do something. We're going to do a libertarian think tank. We're going to outside this political thing, we'll go over here. So they did in San Francisco, I think, and then they moved to Washington, D.C., and then kind of went downhill from there. But, Cato has been, quoted by a lot of free market guys or Republicans. They go, Cato says this, and Cato says that, and Cato, a lot of people for a decade during the Reagan years and on through the 90s, they didn't know it was libertarians. They're going, really? Oh. Well, never mind then. But, this the civil, you have a different generation. It's Bob's generation in their 60s. Now they have a lot of younger guys coming in too, but it's generally dominated by a whole different, totally different perspective. And it will, if you and they start off with the exact same mindset that got us to where we are now. But if you don't have somebody making and enforcing and, tweaking the rules, then you wouldn't have any rules. You'd have chaos. There would be, bad stuff. You would have, economies that would go down. You'd have wars all over the place. You'd have, people working for the state under force and duress. You would have people socially and economically engineered. Oh, you would have all, oh, yeah, what we got now. See my point? I'm like, every single thing that they sit there screaming about they're there to protect me from, they create it. They, this is what H.L. Mencken was going on about back in the 20s, 30s. He's going, hey, man, they create all these hobgoblins, and then they offer themselves as a defender against them. They call it the Hegelian dialect, whatever, the jet's always going on about it, problem, reaction, solution or something. I mean, it's just, this is not new. It's from freaking, it was a book written in stone from Egyptian days. They just keep passing it along. It's all these secret handshake clubs and everything, make it like it's a big secret deal. It's not that secret. The Prince by Machiavelli, I mean, he's sitting there saying, hey, you do this, this happened. This is like, not rocket science, right? You think they haven't, just taken the playbook, from 30s Germany and just, reinstituted a lot of the stuff? You write movie scripts. Wag the Dog. The Siege with Denzel Washington and Bruce Willis, Ned Benning, you take these movies, Long Kiss Goodnight with Gina Davis and Samuel Jackson, you take these scripts and you just add 10 years and it's the freaking news. It just keeps happening because, what's the answer? Because they can. And you gave them the power. You gave him the justification. You gave him the jurisdiction. You gave him the sanction. You gave him however way you did that, mostly by just not saying anything. Here in Arizona, they did the camera fraud thing. The deadline came up while I was gone. You know, it was last week where they go to turn in the signatures. They needed, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand or something. They were 30,000 short.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. What we got here? Gold down to $11.92. You know what that means? Buy it! You know, go get some mo. You know what I did is last night I called my son. They are, see, we got silver down 1785. It was a high of 19-something, man. It was going to 20. So we're like, oh, man, we're like $3 down from peak just a couple weeks ago. This is what I did to my son. He is in the process of trying to buy one of these homes. I mean, it's a nice, he had a four-bedroom. They went through the inspection, going, oh, it's got a crack in the foundation. Never mind. Okay, so on to the next one. Next one, $85,000 for a three-bedroom, two-bath in a nice neighborhood. You know that? I bet that home probably went for over $300,000. Okay, at the peak, it was $250,000, $300,000 minimum. Three-bedroom, two-bath with a pool. It's a short sale at the bank. Family still living in it. And he's going through that process. Well, I know that he has accumulated silver. Now, he's just been buying it over because he's a smart kid. So he and his wife, he sold his toys, his dirt bike and this and that and everything. He converts it into silver. Well, when you go to buy a house and finance, and you're going, oh, no, it's got to be seasoned money. It has to be sitting in a bank account somewhere. I know, you know, the drill that they're going to do. So I'm just like, oh, it came from dad, or I'll buy your silver, or I'll give you a receipt, or whatever we got to do, you know, work it out. But the thing is that, you know, right when he needs to have his down payment, you know, he has, not a zillion dollars, but I mean a substantial amount, a few thousand dollars worth of silver. So is he going to sell it? You know, and who's he going to sell it to? And he's going to take probably a trim of like 25 cents an ounce or something to sell it to somebody, or maybe he'll get spot. So he goes down, and I said, but if I want to go buy more silver, it's down. You know, it's down $3, you know, at least $2 from what it was just a little while ago. You know, I say it's in the 17s, man. I'm like, buy if I got any money. So I got a little bit of here or there. You know, I'll transfer something from even gold over and go get me some silver. So I go, all right. Son, you know, I tell you what, I'd have to pay at least $1.50 or $2 or whatever it is now in a premium per ounce on this. I'll give that to you. So you'd be selling it at, you know, near what you would have got it at its peak just a couple weeks ago. I'll go ahead and buy it from you. I think that's a good deal, right? And I'm thinking I'm getting, you know, helping my son, and I'm coming out even. Ain't no skin off my nose. It's all good. He goes, no, I'm keeping my silver. We're just saving more money because it's been delaying so long. They have been able, because they live very cheaply now, trying to buy a house. They've accumulated enough cash that they go, you know, we're going to try and keep the silver, and we're just going to go ahead and pay it out of a bank account. And I'm like, smart kid. Dang it. Get me some silver. But the so this is, you know, fortunately, I don't see this. This means nothing to me. You know, it's 17, something. It was as low as almost 1760 today. You know, then it shot back up over 18, then it went back down. I mean, there's, you know, they're playing. We've had some stories up in just the last couple of days that the silver inventory, there was one thing I was talking to, you know, a wealthy friend of mine does a lot of investment in precious metals and such, and there's things that even he didn't know. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't remember that when they did the Manhattan Project, one of the metals that they had in enormous supply, they took all the silver from the U.S. Mint and what was mined and bought it on the market, whatever, and they had, you know, hundreds of tons of silver that they used in the processing of the uranium. It was something to do with, those electrical blocks and whatever. I mean, you know, all that, you know, high-tech geeky stuff. But the nuclear physicists, they needed a bunch of silver for the conducting abilities that it had, the windings or, you know, big blocks of it, something. It was the Manhattan Project. And if you go in, you know, we could probably do it now. You go in and you say, Manhattan Project Silver. Bullion. Manhattan. Oh, I spelled Manhattan wrong. Manhattan Project Silver. And what's going to come up is that there was enormous stockpiles of silver. That's when they started to take that stockpile is what was being used to make silver coins. There was that stockpile that was like the stockpile of silver for the United States. Well, it's almost gone. It's going away. It's going away. It's going away. It's going away. So then what? You know what? What? You know, we are at the point where there's so much paper that's representing silver that doesn't exist yet. It's in the ground. They'll go, hey, it's like it's a commodity. It's like corn. We're selling you futures on the corn that we haven't harvested yet. You know, we got, you know, corn. Don't expect, you know, corn. That's next, you know, June's corn. Okay. Well, it's next June's silver in the dirt that we haven't got yet. You know, all right. To the point that production right now, max production they've had over the last decade, it's going to take them a decade or two to even mine it. You know, so I'm just going, really? So what happens when people start turning in their paper saying, I want to take delivery? Well, that's what's happening. That's what's going on right now. But you still have the price manipulated. How are they doing it? More paper. They just, you know, they just make it up. Okay. Well, you know, where are we going on this? Yeah, go ahead and, yeah, I got it here, but it take me forever to pick out the parts. So you just do Manhattan Project Silver Bullion, and it'll come up and all kinds of stuff. So the stockpile that kept the silver prices down, that because there was such an enormous accumulation of it during World War II, is going away to the point it's gone. Even if they took all that they ever had back then, they got more paper on it than what ever existed. This is enormous manipulation. And it's Morgan Stanley, I think it is. You know, I hate to say. I don't know. But it's one of the large companies that's still doing this. They got nailed with it. There was a lawsuit on. They were charging people to store their gold for them, but then they didn't have the gold. So they go, okay, I want my gold. Well, I tell you what, we'll just pay you a contract or give you so much percent. No, I want my gold. Well, it's not here right now. And you go, aren't you charging me for me to store my gold there and you don't got it there? Lawsuit, millions paid out. This is just recently, this year. Then this happened a couple of years ago. I'm going, I don't trust these guys. You know, you want to get your, you want to sit there and hold it in my hands and do the, you know, McDuck, what's his name? Uncle McDuck, the rich Disney character. You know, he's in there, you know, diving in his gold coins and so on. I because that's just the best way. I want a touchy feely. Well, you know, they have yesterday. They had scientists find natural way to curb your greed. Now we'll make sure that that you don't want to have your gold. You won't need it anymore because you don't want it. You don't want it. What they had is there is a chemical that affects the reward part of the brain that's responsible for hedonistic behavior. Oh, like, lust or drugs, alcohol, whatever. And they have put this into people. They've taken it. And it has a lot of negative side effects. There's different things going on. So they kind of, you know, massage it a little bit. And we don't need that part. We'll just use this part of the chemical molecule, and we'll do this and everything. And one of the benefits they find out that it cures cures, if it was an illness, your need for, I don't know, assertiveness or aggression, greed. You know, greed, you know, was it in Wall Street, the original one? They just had a sequel coming out. You know, it has Michael Douglas in that, too. And he was saying greed is good. Greed for life. Greed for breathing. Greed for food. Greed to, you know, keep breathing in and out. Greed for, you know, stuff. You know, that's what makes the world go around. It's kind of the point that he's making. Well, they can cure that now. Got a pill. Feeling a little greedy? Got a pill. The one thing, it reminds me of a... one of the Star Treks, I think it was number 5, is the one that William Shatner directed, and it really sucked. But, you know, there was a part in there where they had the brother of Spock, I think it was, and he's out looking for the truth. He's sharing, I can take away your pain, you know. And he would go up and do the mind meld thing, and it would take away all these traumas in your life and kind of diminish them in your psyche, your memories, and change your personality and make you more at peace and all this kind of stuff. Shatner refused it. He goes, no. I need my pain. You know, I need my foibles. I need my character flaws. I need, it's what makes me the way I like me. I'm good. Yeah, I got problems. I got issues. I need to work on certain, you know, but that's, and I feel the same way. Man, there's a whole bunch of dials people would be turning on my personality. I don't want my kids to have that dial. I'd be dialing down all kinds of daddy, you know? But a lot of that is what makes me capable of doing so much else. And it's what the man fears. It's these pieces of humanity that is a threat to them. They need you under control. Chemically, electronically, magnetic fields, whatever the heck they need to do to make you not a threat anymore. And if they can, they will. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, we're just running against the wind. Oh, but at least we're running. You know, we're not getting swept away. We might even be making ground. What ground are you going to make, though? Where's the ground made? Is it made in getting bad guys to go, okay, I won't rule you as badly? Yay. And then when you kind of back off and you stop leaning, you're going to start getting, and then you got to constantly be leaning into the wind. You know, you got to be running into the wind. You never get off the treadmill. I just don't care. Am I allowed not to care? You can go blah, 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 blah all you want. And then I tell you what, when you come showing up at my front door, then I'll make a decision. You know, this is one thing I get from a lot of people. They say, when I first started doing radio, you got to keep in mind, 2003, the war drums just getting beat, bam, 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 we're going to war, going to war, going to war. And I'm going, look, let me tell you when this war really starts. Now, you can shock and awe all you want. You're going to have boots on the ground, got to go amongst the people. There was a game that I look forward to playing when my grandkids get older. You know, my kids are probably, you know, they haven't got other stuff to do, but it's called Axis and Allies, and it's a Milton Bradley board game, and it's very complex. It'll take up to 9 hours to play. It's one of those all-day things. And you look at the old World War II movies where you have this lighted table. It's a big, probably, you know, 5, 6 by 10 lighted table in the middle of the room. And these guys moving around little, you know, toy soldiers, you know, and tanks and planes and material and so on. And they're moving around the board and Eisenhower's, you know, planning the invasion and so on. Well, the game is like that. And it sets up in the spring of 1942. It's like you're getting ready to go and do Battle of Midway. And it has all the positioning of all of, and the Pacific is heavily dominated by the Japanese. The Europe is heavily dominated, North Africa, by the Germans. Russia is kind of, you know, getting ready to get its butt kicked. You have the United States, almost nothing. And then the game starts. What happens is you have 5 different groups. You have the United States, United Kingdom, and Russia, versus the Axis, which is Germany and Japan. So what happens is that you start to understand that it was the manufacturing ability of the Western allies that was able to overwhelm what was, they accumulated a bunch of material. Germany went on a big building spree. They had all this kind of stuff that allowed them to overrun other more peaceful, not armed countries around them, including France, okay? So then the manufacturing ability was what got them. And you find out even in the game, you have probability of rolling dice and you pick different things. And I think it's probably one of the most accurate depictions of what war is really like. And one of the things is that Britain is an island. I mean, you have to have a gazillion transport ships. You can only take a couple of little guys over that represent a bunch of people. You could do yada, 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 yada. You got an isolated island like Britain, man. It was, you can see the problem that Hitler had trying to, you know, bomb them out of existence and still maintain, you know, on their borders. He went to war with Russia because he's an idiot, okay? So, yeah, Alexander the Great and Napoleon, you know, they found out. You go to Russia, it's winter, it's bad, all right? So this game, one thing that it showed me, you can bomb the living crap out of whatever. You can have your secret weapons. You can roll and get higher, more powerful bombers. You can bomb it. But in the end, you have to occupy and get the points and get the production certificates and more money to be able to make more stuff by occupying ground. And the only way you can occupy ground is with a little toy soldier guy goes in and says, boom, I'm here now. You can kill their entire army, blast out every single one of their, you know, Saddam Hussein's tanks, his Republican Guard or whatever. You can totally annihilate them on the road to death, you know, during the first Gulf War. You can totally destroy their entire, but then what? Then you got to send your guys in the little army boots and their Kevlar helmets and their body armor and their open, you know, vulnerable Humvees, and you got to go in there and you got to occupy. From playing that game, you would think that generals know, and they know, these wars aren't meant to be won. They're meant to be fought. It's just to spend money. They know, they know. And as a young man, I knew, just from playing this stupid board game. I mean, it's not that stupid. I think it's very instructional. But you go in and you say, you know what? So on the radio, 2003, I guarantee you what's going to happen. You're going to have all your shock and awe bombing and strafing and killing and blowing up and all you want. Take out their electricity, take out their water treatment, take out, make it inconvenient for them. You can do whatever you want. And you go in, you're going to have to occupy the territory. And this is what I'd say. You're going to have a U.S. Marine in Baghdad with his great pose, with his foot on some rubble, holding an American flag, and then the war starts. And that's where we're at now. So who do you have out, you know, screaming that this is never going to end? It's never going to be. We have to reduce military spending. By far, the single most important of these is our current initiative to include substantial reductions in the projected level of American military spending as part of the future deficit reduction efforts. Blah, 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 blah. This is all about the budget. Well, who's saying this? It's two congressmen, Barney Frank and Ron Paul, from the left and from the libertarians, saying, you know, we don't have a choice, and they don't, but they're going to keep doing it. And then Steele said something, RNC guy. We'll talk about it.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence to me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here on RBN Network from Phoenix, Arizona, in the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Now, freedomsphoenix.com, we have a lot of stuff. I mean, I could do entire shows on one story that we put like 50, 60 a day that goes up there. Freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. And I'll just go through these, just the headlines and maybe some of the summary real quick before we get to, you know, we've got a long segment here, so I can do this real quick before I get to, you know, the steel thing and on the war and RNC, and we'll play a clip for the Daily Show to where you have the left. I don't know how they perceive it, or they're making fun of, or just pointing out the hypocrisy of the whole thing. That's one thing I like about Jon Stewart, you know, except for his big support of healthcare. But he's just the absurdity of either side. He's just, look, man, it's just government. You know, it's just they all lie. They all BS us. They all promise. They all – and he's going through his own stages of this over the years. He's been from the 90s. Here's a stand-up comedian that gets his own little – you know, they call him Fox News, F-A-U-X. It's just a – you know, on the comedy station, no less. Comedy Central, Crossfire, I mean, giving them all kinds of crap, saying that they're going, you're not with the program here. You know, you're not supporting the, you know, the Obama administration. You're not, you know, what up with that? You know, how can you? You know, the hypocrisy of government in general, they're always promising all kinds of stuff. But, you know, here you have a young comedian that comes in. He's on Crossfire. They're giving him all kinds of crap because he's not asking hard enough news questions. He's not, and he gets the story. I mean, he, in a different way. And he goes, "You're looking to me to set journalistic standards? The show that leads into me is talking puppets making crank phone calls. Seriously? I'm the standard for news journalism?" You know, and man, he made a point. Within weeks, Crossfire went off CNN. They had lost so much credibility from that, the butt whipping that he gave on that one show, they canceled it. And that's where Carlson Tucker went off to be something else and eventually wound up endorsing Ron Paul because he got his butt whipped, got rid of his bow tie too. So in Freedom's Phoenix, we follow this. Like we had yesterday, we had Gary Franchi on the show, and he's coming to Phoenix. He's going to be doing some more footage for Camp FEMA 2. He did Camp FEMA, which is a documentary on, you know, FEMA camps and so on. He's doing another one. There's a lot of stuff here in Arizona. It's like, hey, you want to take a tour? Fine, come on down. Do some interviews, do a tour. He's also doing a documentary on mandatory vaccinations. Well, on Freedom's Phoenix, you go in the top navigation bar, and it goes over, it says archives, and it'll have a drop down. The second one down, it says contents by subject. Then you'll go to V, and it has vaccinations. So it's a whole category that we had on just vaccines and vaccinations. We had probably 100, more than 100 entries during the heyday of H1N1 crap that was going on. And our study of, you know, interviews that we did, video. You go down to the Walgreens and say, Jet and Drew went down there, videotape. Jet's a nurse. He was a nurse for years. And he goes, hey, where's your information sheet? Aren't you making that available before you go sticking stuff in people's arms? They can look and see what's in there. You know, has it got mercury? It doesn't. Does it have, you know, where's your sheet? Not wouldn't be prudent at this juncture, not showing you. Really? Okay. Interviewing some of the doctors there, doing that, getting all this on tape, one after another after another. They're just pumping stuff in. People don't even know what it is. So we're going, okay, talk to the governor. Got the Arizona Health Department. Got all this information. He's coming, that whole category, all the news coverage that we got, all the signs that we made, all the photos, the videotape, the activism, and so on. Boom, man, is his job a lot easier. That's why we do Freedom's Phoenix the way that we do. We create, in chronological order, all the news on certain categories that could go on for hundreds of entries. We have almost 100,000 entries. It's like 99,000 or something. Entries over the past 5 years on Freedom's Phoenix. You want to do research on anything? Got it. Bush administration? Done. Military? Done. Pentagon? Got it. Central Intelligence Agency? What they've been up to about that war? You know, whichever one that is. Got it. And then we have a lot of, you know, interesting things up here. We had Pastor Dixon, Greg Dixon, he is, a lot of people may remember him. He was the pastor of the Indianapolis church that the IRS bulldozed because they're like, look, we're not being part of your 501c, whatever. We ain't playing, all right? And we're not doing federal withholding on employees that's paying you a God's money. Kind of. They go, oh, yeah, bulldoze the church. Now, some of you may remember that. Well, he writes on Freedom's Phoenix. And he got a letter to the editor in response, debunking Dr. Dixon why shooting abortionist might be justifiable. Because Pastor Dixon's like, you know, it's wrong to kill abortion doctor. You should handle another. This guy, no. You got to kill him. Oh, really? You know, do I put that up on Freedom's Phoenix? Let them have at it. Letter to everybody's entitled their opinion. Clinton criticizes Russia for occupying Georgia. Not America, Georgia, but Georgia over in the former Soviet Union. She's criticizing Russia for occupying a country. Okay, man, just get entertainment. Retailers launch their own stimulus packages. It's now getting to the point to where you have large retailers, you know, like Walmart, Sam's Club, and so on. They're introducing loans for shoppers up to $25,000. You know, for small business stuff, they're just bypassing credit cards and the banks, and they're just financing things themselves. Now, obstruction of government administration, resisting arrest, trespassing, and disorderly conduct. All criminal charges in a day's work for jumping on stage at a hot dog eating contest and harming no one. Obstruction of government administration, resisting arrest, trespassing, disorderly conduct. Throw all kinds of stuff at you. Now, this story is about, you know, a reigning champion of a hot dog thing, and he's, because of contractual, he couldn't get, whatever, it doesn't matter. They're going after everybody for anything, because they can. Newsweek editor asks, why are we fighting a major war in Afghanistan? Oh, that guy's done. Oh, heck no, unless it serves the purpose of something else. So McChrystal, when he leaves, what's he going to do, run for president now? You know, pull the anti-war guys over to one side so that they can, you know, not be consolidated behind somebody like old Dr. Paul? Yep. Of interest to a lot of people here, the remains of chess champion Bobby Fischer has been exhumed to, you know, get a DNA sample to determine whether a child that they had out of wedlock, you know, is his child, and she might be have access to his fortune. But what was interesting about this, and we'll be doing more stories on this. A friend of mine told me this. We were talking about Iceland. Iceland got so screwed in this financial thing. They, you know, their people just said, no, we're not bailing out anybody. We're done. We're off the grid of you guys. We're done. Now, what happens? You know, a lot of rich people go, well, maybe they might be amenable to protecting my freedom, not extraditing, allowing me to do my servers, de la government, leave me alone. I'll go to Iceland because they got volcanoes going in both economic and real volcanoes. The Vikings are returning to Norway. You know, they're going to Scandinavian country. They're exiting Iceland big time. But what did they do? Bobby Fischer was a chess player. Greatest chess player in the history of, okay? He wanted to play the other guy that said he was the greatest chess player in history of. So he was a Soviet guy. So this is back in the Cold War days, and he went to, I don't know, Spain or somewhere in Europe or something, Yugoslavia, I think it was, to play this guy. So he goes, he played, and what did the State Department do in the United States? Boom, they want to put you in prison for the rest of your life, violating because we say you can't. So he's said, well, I'm not going back to the U.S. anymore. He winds up flying. He's in Japan somewhere. And the Japanese got, you know, they had, oh, you're on the list. And we get some kind of good from the government if we hold you and extradite and got you and all that. So they arrested him. They're going to ship him back to the U.S., put him in prison the rest of his life. Because he went and played chess somewhere he wasn't supposed to. Seriously. Iceland comes in and they says, you know what, we grant him citizenship in Iceland. What are you doing with our guy? Give him back. So they did. Stayed in Iceland. Iceland is, better than a cage in the United States. I don't know how much better, but it's better than a cage in the United States. So Iceland already has this mentality of just leave me alone. Why? Because the Vikings, when they went to Iceland, they did not operate under a government. They had a local rotating kind of, you get to pick your judges. When we go to schools, we go to Brophy Prep. It's an all-boys school here. Next to Xavier, it's all girls here, and the Jesuits teach here. It's a prestigious private school. For years, we would go in September, beginning of the school year, and take an entire week, and we'd do monetary policy because one of the instructors there, one of the teachers, was a libertarian, and he would have us go in and teach at his private school monetary policy, judicial system, criminal law, politics, constitution, whatever. We'd spend a day on different subjects, and one of them was anarchy. Just anarchy and all. And what was the example that we used? Iceland. Because they have a history where America has a history of the founders, Declaration of Independence. Iceland has a history of none. We vote none government. None. So these are the kinds of people that, you know, would say, you know what? Bobby Fischer's going to spend, you know, one of the greatest minds on the planet is going to spend the rest of his life in a U.S. jail because he says, I don't respect your authority. I'm going to go play chess over here in Yugoslavia. We give you citizenship. Come on over here. It's all good. You know, all of a sudden these guys are looking, I won't be checking them out. See what I mean? So, you know, a lot of people that have a lot of, they just want to be left alone, go to Iceland. They're begging for you to go. We're going to be checking on that more. Turkey wants Israel apology. Israel rejects demand. Yeah, ouch quit it. You know, just more crap, you know. Then you have attacks on Rolling Stone reporter make media look servile in defending herself and her compatriots in the press corps against charges they are too chummy with the military. Logan wounded them grievously with Mustaine-friendly fire, McIntyre wrote in his blog. She unfortunately reinforced the worst stereotype of... So this is, you know, this embedding... this story is about the embedding of reporters in with the military. So what's your obligation? Do you criticize? Do you not? Do you get the Helen Thomas treatment in the White House correspondence pool? Do you criticize? Because this is why the Bush administration got Helen Thomas kicked out for a while, and then she came back, you know, from public demand and ridicule. And then later, you know, she here recently, she went up against Israel. Man, you ain't coming back from that one. But she did ask. The first time she was kicked off was she goes, you said we went to Iraq because of weapons of mass destruction. Then you said we went to Iraq because of this. Then you said, why did we go into Iraq? Oh, you're out of here. Oh, go, done. All right. Well, then she comes back. Well, then she criticized Israel. You know, Israel should just, you know, whatever she said, and just go away, leave Palestinians alone, you know, whatever. Now, man, you're done now. Yep. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture have you anywhere near the White House asking any questions. You know, so this is, you know, here we go. Let's see, what are some of the other goodies we got on here? Yeah, blah, blah, technology and so on. LouRockwell.com has always got good stuff. You know, up there, you know, title of the article is Liberty or Power, or another story, Overthrowing the State. Yeah, you might want to read that article, Overthrowing the State. Peacefully, article by Marie Rothbard. Public School Lies by John Taylor Gatto. Hedging the Coming Apocalypse, Jim Rogers. The Fraud of War by Ron Paul. More Debt, Eric Margolis. I mean, these are great articles. Lou Rockwell does such a good job, like Freedom's Phoenix, that it's just better for me to just say today on Lou Rockwell and just put the whole thing up there and you can go see it. Because, man, I got some good. Then we have, you know, about a lot on the British Petroleum and whether they're going to go under or not, and whether how bad the Gulf spill really is, and marine biologists claiming that the U.S. Coast Guard are involved in spraying that Corexit or whatever it is, this dispersant that's just poisoning everything, that the government and the British Petroleum, they're kind of working together. They don't want any media there. You know, we might wind up going there just out of principle. I mean, seriously, just interviewing people that, you know, because I can do it. I can't do it? Watch me. So, that may come to that. Then a lot of technology and so on that's coming out. Here we have Terra Fugia, I think they call it, flying car approved by the FAA, will be available next year. We've been following this for a few years. Late next year, you'll probably be able to buy your own flying car, a rotable aircraft. So it's like you can, you know, it folds up the wings, everything is like a little kind of a miniature VW bug, and it folds up everything, and it goes to the gas pump. You know, you drive in, you know, fill her up, and you go out on the road, you find somewhere to take off. I'm not even sure where you can take off. Do I got to go to the airport? I can just, nobody's looking on the freeway jam and just fly. That would be so cool. That would be substantially cool because there's a lot of open places to land here in the Southwest. So I'm like, man, this is cool. Thanks to a thumbs up from the Federal Aviation Administration. Yay, I had to go ask them. As long as you have $194,000 and a sport pilot license. Sport pilot license is a different kind of license. It's like for a few thousand dollars and so many hours, you can get a license to fly what they call a sport plane. And there's a lot of really cool amphibious sport planes. It's just, you know, seats two people, and you can just go, you know, it's a glorified ultralight. But, you know, here is a car that you can drive. You can park in your garage, and you can go flying. You know, it's 4th of July weekend. I'll bet you last night coming down from Flagstaff, getting back into Phoenix, man, you were hours in a parking lot log jam, you know, called the freeway system, getting back into the valley. You know, wouldn't it be nice just to flying over it? Thank you very much for playing. Ron Paul slams federal interference in oil spill relief efforts. You know, that's a good one. Retired geography professor advocates global one-child policy. Yeah, here we go. Oh, the post office is raising rates again. Of course they are. Oh, and there's a bunch of other good stuff here. Yeah, we'll go ahead and finish up with some of the good stuff here when we come back. Because this is kind of stuff that's on Freedom's Phoenix every single day.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Turn that dial all the way. Shoot me like a rocket in the space. Loving every minute of it. Loving every minute of it. Loving every minute of it. Come on!
Yeah, come on! We love it every minute of it here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock from BEA Beautiful Studios of Freedoms with an S. FreedomsPhoenix.com here in Phoenix, Arizona, where you find all kinds of goodies. Good days. You know, and baddies, too. Most of it's bad. But, you know, have tar balls hit Texas as BP oil spill cost soars. You know, that means all the Gulf states now starting to get oil hitting on them. I'm shocked it took this long. You know, but I man, it's going to go around the Gulf Stream. Dang. Yep, bad stuff. Weapons budget grows amid Obama cuts. They've cut the budget spending, which means, you know, I don't know, troops are going down to whatever. You know, and also you wonder if on the budget, does that include all the mercenary stuff, all the subcontracting out to whatever? These are like special budget override de la, you know, shell game crap that they do. But the weapons budget is growing. Oh, they're getting more toys. Well, dang, Skippy, you know that's happened. The industrial complex, military industrial complex. Well, to get you to buy all this stuff, we need to get your mind right, boy. Cool Hand Luke, remember that? We need to get your mind right. Is your mind right? Your mind ain't right. Who's going to get your mind right? Glenn Beck University, Fox News host starts on college. Glenn Beck University, going to get your mind right. You know we're going to have some fun with that one, I guarantee it. And we did a story on election fraud in South Carolina. There was we had Brad Friedman from bradblog.com follows a lot of this stuff, comes in. And it's just amazing. There was a guy, he spent all kinds of money on it. All of a sudden, and he loses to a guy. Nearly 4 weeks ago, the 32-year-old unemployed military veteran turned South Carolina's political scene upside down when he won the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate seat. And unlike that high school student, he's taking a big chance running for. And what it goes on and on. What happened is that they knew him from school. The guy's, you know, very shy. He, his mother died of cancer when he was a boy. He lives with his father. He's taken care of. He's, you know, unemployed. He did no marketing, really. He had one little flyer that he did. So everybody's going, you know, how did this unemployed guy that's in there, he never campaigned, he doesn't go out, all of a sudden he wins. What up with that? And so it's just getting, you know, weirder and weirder. They're going to be finding out, does he have links? We're going to follow this. This was interesting. Alvin Green, I mean, you know, if he wins, cool, you know, but it just really sent up a lot of red flags on election fraud. Well, they pointed that out to the party because it was, even though it's funded by the state and the state counts it and all that kind of stuff, it's really the appeal goes to the party. So they go to the party and they say, hey, in our primary, these guys, and they go, you know what? We're not going to challenge this. We're not going to look any deeper. We're not going to check. We understand you make a lot of good cases, but if we challenge this, if we go down this road, it puts the entire thing in question because they had no paper. It was all electronic. So they're just like, nope, we're not going to touch it. Then we have, you know, this is interesting off of Wired magazine. There's a guy named Henrik Fisker. He is, it's like a DeLorean, you know, Austin Martin, you know, all these guys that were coming in to the auto industry right when it's, you know, being bailed out and all down and all that kind of stuff. And they're going, is this the right time to start a car company? It's the perfect time, especially for an environmentally minded automaker governments are handing out money. In April, we got $529 million loan from the U.S. Department of Energy to start his car company. I want to start a car company. I'm going, oh, you guys are killing me. You know, so is it going to be cool? Who cares? They gave him $500 million to start a car company. Your tax money at work. I'm like, oh, man. You see, just the headlines on Freedom's Phoenix. I could do entire shows, 2 hours a day, on any one of these. And a lot of times we do. You need to go to freedomsphoenix.com. Because I can only do so much on radio. There's so much more you need to know.